What a great day. Mark chapter 11, if you have your Bible with you. We've been doing a sermon series on faith. We've each been given a measure of faith, we're told. Some don't really know what that measure is. Mustard seed measure, gallon measure, ton of faith, that's a measure. The one thing we can all agree on is, though we have faith, we would like our faith to grow. We would like our faith to strengthen. And so that comes from, according to Romans 10:17, faith comes from what is heard. And what is heard comes through the message about Christ. So we've been studying these passages where we're seeing Jesus teach on faith from the Gospels. And so we had a lesson a couple weeks ago about the mustard seed faith. And then today we're going to see an illustration that he uses about a fig tree as an example of faith. And so you remember with the mustard seed faith was discussing the potential of faith. And he said, even if you have a tiny mustard seed faith, that's the potential to move a mountain. Today I think Jesus is telling us more along the lines of what's the process of using our faith. And so here we are in Mark chapter 11. Jesus and his disciples had a big day before. So we read about it last week. Jesus healed Bartimaeus in Jericho to much fanfare. And then they traveled from Jericho to Jerusalem. It's about 15 miles. According to Google Maps, you can walk it in 8 hours. So they made that trip. And when they arrived, you can see in chapter 11 that they're greeted by this, we call it the triumphal entry. The people are just throngs of people that are laying down their coats and they're waving palm branches and they're shouting messianic passages from the Psalms and they're saying Hosanna. And so we read that Jesus went in with his disciples. He goes and walks around the Temple Mount, takes a gander to see what's going on there. And then they leave that night and go to stay outside of town in Bethany. And so this is what has led up to this point. When we get to verse 12, they're walking back into Jerusalem, all right? So the next day, when they went out from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree with leaves, he went to find out if there was anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard it. Okay, so we're going to skip a little bit just for time's sake. They go into the temple and Jesus turns over the money changers' tables. I didn't want to scare the Gideons since they're collecting money out there. So we'll just skip that. And then in verse 20, it says, early in the morning, so they went back out of the city to spend the night. They're coming back in the morning, early in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. And then Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you curse is withered. And Jesus replied to them, have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes in what was said will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, everything you pray and ask for, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven will also forgive you your wrongdoing. Okay, so Jesus, so this is the second time we've run into him using this illustration of moving a mountain of difficulty, a mountain of trouble, whatever that mountain you're facing, of how we can move a mountain. And before it was with the mustard seed, but now he goes into a little more detail about the process of our faith. It begins in verse 22, have faith in God. And then 23, he says, say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe, and you'll receive it. So miracles happen. Mountains are moved by prayer, by heart of faith, and belief without doubt. So we're going to come back to those things here in a moment. But what's interesting about this teaching today is that this one wasn't hypothetical. It wasn't a hypothetical lesson like the mustard seed. Here the disciples witness firsthand faith in action. They heard Jesus curse a tree. They saw the tree the next day that was all shriveled up and dead. All right, so here it is. It's breakfast. They've been very busy. They've been traveling. Jesus was hungry. I don't know if you've ever been in a bus with 12 hungry kids, but they're very irritating. And Jesus was hungry, and all of a sudden he sees this fig tree, healthy, green, leafy, but figless. It's the modern equivalent of pulling up to Whataburger and it's closed. And Jesus was not happy about it, and he cursed the tree. So the sermon's called The Lessons from a Fig Tree, but I almost called it Lessons from Grumpy Jesus. The Bible says, Paul says, be angry and sin not, right? So here is Jesus being hangry and sinning not. But he gave us some principles here, and I think there's six of them, I think, that I listed that we're going to go through as we look at this passage. Number one, don't fake it till you make it. You ever heard that saying, fake it till you make it? It comes from a Simon and Garfunkel song, 1968, Faking It. And I don't know who sang it, Simon or Garfunkel. And I know that I'm faking it. I'm not really making it. And yes, before you ask, that was before my time. But I was reminded of that saying, fake it till you make it. This week, as I read this, as I imagined this scene, because like a lot of you, perhaps, I grew up in church. And so we were no strangers to faking it, right? I mean, my mom would bathe us once a week, Saturday night. Maybe more, I don't remember. But you know, because it's Sunday, so you get cleaned up, you put on your Sunday clothes, you put on your Sunday demeanor, you speak your Sunday words, and then we see this all throughout the church, but we know that for a lot of folks there, Monday through Saturday looks very different than what we see on Sunday morning. And some things don't match. And there's a lot of folks that have a big problem with the church, and they say the church is full of hypocrites. And I say, yes, we've got a few, but we've got plenty of room for more. But the truth is, we're not really hypocrites. Most of us are here today or watching online because we are trying. We want to grow. We want to grow in the Lord. It's just that we're not perfect. It's just that we mess up and we fall short from time to time. A hypocrite is a person who pretends to have virtues and qualities that he doesn't really have. Okay, so the word hypocrisy actually comes from the word in Greek for mask. And it was worn by the actors in the ancient Greek world. They put on those, you know, the happy, sad face masks. Those were the masks. That's what a hypocrite is. It's someone who's wearing a mask, someone who is faking. And that was Jesus' biggest problem with the Pharisees, wasn't it? The fact that they would put on a show of holiness to impress others. And it turns out that was Jesus' problem with his fig tree as well. And that's the first principle for today. Looking good isn't enough. Jesus saw a fig tree, and it looked good. It was appealing, and it was a little bit out of the way, but it looked so good that he changed his plans. He made a detour because he was hungry. And so he goes up to that fig tree to get something to eat. And I love that because it just reminds me again that Jesus is 100% human. He sees that fig tree, and his salivating. You know how when you start to think about food and you can just, yeah. We can get out of here quick. I mean, you know, it's like automatic drive-by Buc-ee's and your turn signal just turns on for some reason. The fig tree looked convincing from a distance, but it didn't stand up to closer inspection. Because principle number two, fruit trees produce fruit. Jesus expected fruit on that tree. He wasn't looking for food on the ground or anything like that. He was expecting there to be fruit on that tree. There's supposed to be fruit on that tree. Now, as Christians, you and I are expected to produce spiritual fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Our faith isn't just for show. These are the things that God wants coming out of our lives. Faithfulness, gentleness, kindness. Imagine what the world would be like if we could just take a little of that and spread it around. It'd be wonderful. So our faith isn't just for show. God expects real results, like not an option, but an expectation. When we have faith, we're expected to use it. We're expected to be productive with it. It's exactly what Richard was saying. We were talking about the offering with the Colossians. I heard about your faith. Well, how'd you hear about it? Because they're kind and they're gentle and they're faithful and they're patient and generous. So we're supposed to be producing fruit in life. Now, Jesus taught us how to do that in John chapter 15. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches, the one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. All right, so on my own, I'm not getting any kinder. You can ask my wife. On my own, I'm not getting any more patient. But it's when I'm connected to Jesus and Jesus is working in me and through me, that's when this spiritual fruit comes out. And so God knows the possibilities for each of us, whether we know it or not. He knows what potential fruit we might bear. He knows the possibility. The same way he knew there was a possibility that there were figs on that tree. So he knows that we can produce fruit in our lives. He's confident that we can produce fruit in our lives. And you maybe go through a season where you're not seeing any fruit and you just say, I can't do it. It's not happening. But Jesus has confidence in you that you can produce, or that he can produce through you, his fruit. And we can actually live up to our potential. Which is the third principle. There will be an inspection. Verse 13, Jesus, seeing in the distance the fig tree with leaves, he went to find out if there was anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. All right, we'll stop right there for a minute. And before you even ask, no, I don't know the answer to this question. Is it fair for Jesus to curse a tree for a lack of figs when it wasn't even the season for figs? Leads me to another question. Why do we always talk about fairness in our country these days? Fair, unfair, I don't know. It seems unfair to me that Jesus would hold this tree to a standard of figginess. I mean, I'm just making up words. When it wasn't fig season. But I think Jesus did this to illustrate for the disciples an even greater point. And that is this. There will come a time when God examines our fruitfulness, whether we are ready for him or not. He gets to set the examination time. And there will be a time when God will examine our lives for fruit. How often do we put off working on our faith and just stick to looking the part? It's a lot easier just to pretend than actually go through the work. We've got plenty of excuses. My life's really busy right now. I've got things under control. I'll work on my faith later. But we're not guaranteed later. One of the things that's very clear in the scriptures is that we're not guaranteed later. Jesus tells a story of a man who had an incredible harvest. And he got so excited about it, he built giant barns to hold everything and died that night. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, we're guaranteed today. And God wants us to be fruitful today. So you can't put off working on that fruit stuff later. God wants us to be engaged at this very present time, because at any moment it may be time for Him to inspect our lives. Are we just green and leafy? Or do we have fruit? We tell everybody, hey, I'm a fig tree. Prove it. I got fig looking leaves. Unless I'm producing figs, I don't really have any proof. Now I realize this is kind of maybe a fearful prospect for some of us. This idea of Jesus showing up unannounced to inspect, you know, the fruit inspection thing. So I want to remind you for a moment of God's grace. And he tells a parable. Jesus tells a parable in Luke 13, I think, about a vineyard owner. And in his vineyard, there was, interestingly enough, a fig tree. But it was unproductive. Hadn't grown a fig in 3 years. And the owner says, cut it down. It's a waste of space. We could put something else there that would be better. And then the vineyard worker, his employee, who happens to represent Jesus in this story, I think, he says to the owner, sir, leave it this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. How many of you like to dig? Digging's the worst thing you could ever do. It's so hard. But Jesus says, I'm going to dig in and I'll fertilize it. And how many of you know in the first century what fertilizer is? Without getting too graphic. Jesus is willing to put in the work with us. And you realize that a lot of the time our lives are fruitless and stinky. But Jesus will put up with it. He'll be patient with us. He will help work with us because he wants us to prosper. He wants fruit in our lives. He wants what's best for us, but he also wants to glorify the Father in heaven through our lives. And the best way that can happen is when the church looks like the church, when fig trees look like fig trees, and there's fruit in abundance. All right, faith is the key, principle 4. So the next day, so he spoke to the tree. They went out to the temple. They left that night in the evening, so they didn't see it. So the next morning, they're walking back past the same tree. And to me, Peter's response is kind of funny. Peter's like, wow, Jesus, you did that. And I'm like, Peter, we literally just saw him walk on water and change and feed 5,000 people from a couple fish and loaves of bread. So you would think by this point, it's no big deal, just another day at the office. But then I started thinking, it probably has to be pretty intimidating to walk with Jesus like they did and to be continuously exposed to this level of faith. I mean, it's not just he did one cool thing. It was like one and another and then another and then another. And pretty soon, these guys are thinking to themselves, I can't do that. Peter's like, I got on the water for 3-4 seconds, but that was it. I can't do that. I don't have enough faith to do that. Jesus set that bar really high. And of course, we can't do enough. We don't have enough. But that's why Jesus said to his disciples earlier, I am the vine, you are the branches, the one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. It's the only way fruit can be produced in our life as it comes from Jesus through us. Our faith is not in us. Our faith is in him. And he's the one doing all the work. So yes, Jesus set the bar high, but he didn't do it to watch us fail. He set the bar high to show the potential power and fruitfulness that's available to us if we do what we say. He tells us to do, remain in him and let him work through us. We can move mountains. Next principle, faith over doubt. Once the disciples saw that shriveled up tree, Jesus then explained to them the process of what took place. Verse 22, have faith in God, number one. Verse 23, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart but believes that it will be done for him, it will be done for him. All right, so it all boils down to faith over doubt. Faith over doubt. Doubt, the Greek word doubt literally means to judge differently or to be uncertain or to be hesitant. Right? When you hear the starter gun and you think, wait, you're beat. The other guy is already down the track. So you're hesitant. So that's the picture of doubt. Doubt is the opposite of faith. Faith jumps out of the blocks. Doubt hesitates. And so Jesus tells us here that faith occurs in two locations. In the mouth and in the heart. In the mouth, with what we say to this mountain, be lifted up and moved into the sea and it will be done. In the heart is what we believe. Someone who doesn't doubt in his heart but believes, it will be done for him. So when the mouth and the heart are not on the same page, there's doubt. There's hesitancy. There's uncertainty. And you say, okay, Pastor, but where else does this apply in the scriptures? And Paul talks about it. In Romans 10:9, when he's talking about salvation, he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so he's talking to us about having a lip service religion versus an authentic religion. But we say we're a Christian or we actually live like a Christian. Now, some folks would say, okay, listen, it's the mouth that's the most important thing. And so if you say something loud enough, say something long enough, if you say something with really cool televangelistic timber, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, that's all you need. And others would say, no, that doesn't work. That doesn't matter. It just only matters is that you believe in your heart. And Jesus says it takes both the heart and the mouth working together. Because when they don't line up, we're like the fig tree that's full of leaves and no bloom. Looks great from a distance. Our mouths are saying all the right things, but deep down we don't really believe it. There's no fruit. Or we're like the shriveled up fig tree. When our hearts believe something, we don't ever talk about it. We don't ever share what God's doing in our lives. and our faith is shriveling. We're not bearing fruit. We're not ministering to others. And so our faith begins to shrivel. And so what do we do when doubt creeps in? Verse 24 tells us, pray. All right, so last point here. Faith gets God's attention. We've seen this principle over and over again in this series. Faith gets God's attention. As I mentioned, Jesus is encouraging here his disciples to use prayer in order to operate their faith that is strong enough to move mountains. Because obviously we can't do anything apart from ourselves, apart from God, right? And so we need to be connected to the vine. And so that means we need to have prayer so that our faith grows and comes to the point where it's producing fruit. So communicating with God about our faith or our lack of faith. Communicating with God about our growth or our lack of growth. Communicating with God about fruit or lack of fruit. This is what we're talking about. This is what it means to be connected to the vine. When you realize in your life that you have no patience. And so by prayer, we ask the Lord to give us patience. That we're not gentle. We're not kind-hearted. That instead of a gentle answer, turning away wrath, we give a wrathful answer. And so these are the things we're communicating with God back and forth. And because we're connected to Him, His roots, His living water, God begins to produce fruit in us and helps erase our doubt. So prayer is what leads us to fruit. Prayer is what aligns us with God's will and strengthens our faith. And so that's why he says, have faith in God. And then he talks about praying. So it's a pretty good story. All started because of missed breakfast, grumpy Jesus. But I think there's some messages for us. Namely, that if we don't bear fruit in life, our faith is useless. Okay, now don't start thinking in terms of when you make a mistake or something doesn't go right and it's imperfect. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about 100% batting average. 100% batting average? Is that good? Batting 1,000. 1,000 batting average. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about being in the process. Being in the process. Realizing that looking good is not good enough. That God wants fruit from our lives. And that he will be inspecting for said fruit. And that the way we get there is through prayer and faith. We can overcome doubt. And faith gets God's attention. And as we read today in Colossians, others notice. It makes a difference. So let's pray as we close. Pray that God grows our faith from showy, leafy faith into a real, authentic, fruitful faith. All right, Lord, that's our prayer. Help us in this process. Every one of us here would probably admit that our life is not producing all the fruit you want. And so, Lord, we ask you to forgive us for that and ask you in turn to help us grow through that. Lord, we want your church to walk in power, not just look good. not just to put on a good show. But that each of us here would have a real, authentic faith, and that the fruit from our lives would minister to those around us, would encourage their hearts, and Lord, that you'd receive glory from our lives. So Lord, we're going to have plenty of opportunity this week. I can just see it. I'm not even prophesying. I just can tell. We're going to have opportunity this week to grow in faith. And so Lord, help us keep those communication lines open with you. Help us to push through so that we might be connected to you and fruitful in your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'd love to pray with you up here. If there's anything you're going through that we can join you in prayer about, give us that opportunity. If you're online, you can visit newlifedenton.org/prayer and get a hold of us that way. Don't forget to stop by and bless the Gideons and their ministry. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Have a great week.